Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly no one asked for this podcast whatsoever. But I'm having a blast. I hope you are too. Wow. Really still can't believe I'm this far. Like, for real. No. Today's episode, I will just give like a tiny preface. It's not really going to be for everyone's audience. This is going to be primarily for the dance audience of the world. Primarily Western dance. I know, kind of, you know, kind of lame. I'll get into that later. But just, you read the title. If you want to stick to it, I'd appreciate it. If not, that's cool too. Not everyone is up to talking about dance, especially Western. So I get it, you know, I understand, you know. But regardless, I hope that you all are doing well. If you're new here, hi, what took you so long? It's about time. You have a lot of listening to catch up on. That's your homework, babe. That's your homework. You don't gotta take notes. You just gotta know about me, obviously. No, I'm kidding. wow. Okay, so... wow. And if you're returning, hi. I hope you're doing well as... like, doing great. I hope that you got your dream job. I hope that you have an interview next week. I hope that you got those that grade you wanted. Maybe you passed that test you were really scared about. I just wish everyone well. That's all I can really say, but I'm not gonna go farther into it. Just know I love you all very much, and I am gonna jump into it right now. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Bye. And hello, welcome back, my fellow aliens. Oh god, I forgot to clear my throat before I started. Hello, hi. Wow, you read the title. I'll just go into it, but I do want to say, to reiterate my little mini preface in the intro, I know that dance is not really for everyone, and I know that's not primarily my target audience, but this podcast is all about me. So I talk about whatever I want, whenever I want. So if you're not into it, that's cool. I'll have a different episode next week. So honestly, I won't be mad. I'm just letting you know now, but oh god, okay, what is going on with me? Anyways, so jumping into today's episode. So today's episode is I love you so much, dance. I love you with all my heart. I would die for you, and I would give my life up for dance, and I'm not kidding on that aspect. But there's always a but, you know. You know, like when somebody says like blah blah blah, but you can always feel that tone coming. Yeah, this is one of the cases. but I would like to start off with the inspiration behind this episode. So wow, I really have no concept of time, you guys. Every time I have to think of a previous event that already happened, I truly just don't remember. I'm not gonna lie to you, it takes me a long time to remember a certain date and a certain day of the week. So whether it was a Friday on March 1st or something like that, I cannot remember those things. After it happens, I just don't remember. It's a dissociation, I promise you, that's what it is. But let's just go with recently, because I'm not going to go get my phone and check when I went. All I know is that last weekend, I want to say, last Saturday. Yeah, I'm just going to say last Saturday, because I know it was last Saturday. So my friend, she sent me, shout out Taylor, love you. she sent me like an open audition flyer that was on Twitter about... just live open casting auditions for Insomniac Events, which would essentially be EDC Las Vegas. Super cool. I don't really know too much about EDC, let alone have I ever been to it. It's just not my thing. Not against it, though. I love the people in that community, because I've never met anyone nicer than them, to be honest with you. The nicest people in the entire realm of industries and jobs and also just fans, I would have to say, would be ravers. They're really sweet, and they're a really great sense of community. But we'll get into that in a little bit. So the inspiration for that was a open casting, which was really fun, but also not at the same time. And It's like for the dancers out there that know, if you know, you know, it's kind of one of those things. But when you go to an open audition or an open casting call, if you will, let alone anyone that is in the realm of like modeling, dancing, acting, even, when it's an open casting call or an open call in general, you know for a fact when the flyer says experience is suggested but not needed. Oh my, do they lie? I'm so sorry. It's just the truth. But, and also, it made me contemplate, it made me really rethink the dance in my life now and where I am, which is kind of like this episode essentially is for me and for other dancers. Essentially, dance is not my whole life anymore, but it is a huge chunk of my life. And there's a difference, and I will definitely tell you the difference later on in this episode. But just a disclaimer, I will be honest with you guys. If you have stuck this far, stuck thus far, this podcast in general and this episode in particular is not a safe space for the gym rats of the world that don't believe that the dance world, the cheerleading world, just that aspect of entertainment is not considered a sport. And if you're one of those people, this is the time you exit because I'm not going to welcome that. Unless you are open to hearing why I have to say that it is, then sure. But if not, and you're just going to completely dismiss it, this podcast, let alone this episode, is not for you. And I do not welcome that energy in my realm because you're wrong. So, not even going to tell you that, with facts. It's just if you meet any dancer that does anything full time, like their entire career, their entire life is just dance, I promise you, they are in way better shape than you are. Sorry, I'm just gonna say, I'm sorry. I am not hating on the gym rats though. I love you guys. I will become one of you soon. I do want to start weight training, just girly tings. But I will say that for the gym rats that are kind of the rude ones, because I've met really good people that are like gym obsessed and they welcome all forms of exercise. Like they do it for the sake of exercise and building themselves and for their mental health. Totally fine. But if you're like the hater in the gym rat world, I don't like you and I never will. So that would be the time right now to exit. You can be like, all right, screw, that's fine. But also I'm just gonna say if you're one of those haters, like the deep haters for like other people, they're like, oh, dance isn't a sport. Then let me see your four pack, babe. Let me see the pack. What you're packing? What do you bench? Exactly. That's my point. Anyways, do you use your own body weight as exercise? Didn't think so. Regardless, though. Anyways, so I thought I would just add that little mini disclaimer. And in reality, I love dance as the art form and the strength and the health it brings me. Not so much the industry itself. I know that's a very popular opinion amongst a lot of other dancers in the world. But some really do love both of them. That's fine too. And I'm not here to judge any dancers or companies in particular. I'm not doing that. I'm just doing it for the sake of kind of an ode to myself in the dance world as I am 22 now. And I have been dancing quite on and off for a while now. And I'm not, this is solely my point of view as a dancer myself. And yeah, that's really all I can say. I'm not against any of it, nor am I for any of it. Dance in all different aspects, not even just Western dance. I'm talking like worldwide dance have meaning and have purpose and have a sense of language to it. So it's really interesting to see that and been exposed to so many different kinds of dance aside from the Western kind. But regardless, it's something I welcome with open arms, something I love. And I unfortunately have picked apart at it in my life, and I realized it wasn't my dream as much as I wanted it to be. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with that either. I have friends that dance full time and that love it and continuously do, and I'm all for it. I'll go to their shows. I will, if they want me to do some extra work for them, I would, But wow. Anyways, but regardless, it's not what I was looking for anymore, and that's okay. You know, I'm not here to judge. A part of me will always, you know, yearn for professional dance and always want to do that. But I know what it comes behind the scenes with that, and it's just not for me, you know? And we'll get into why, you know? So to transition, my background in dance right now, or just to like think of early moments of dance in my life. I had the cliche story of I was in dance in first, I had ballet in first grade and I dropped it completely. And I was too young to understand the importance of it and the actual exercise behind it and why people are ballet dancers and they do it for a living, because I was so young. I cannot honestly tell you how much I don't remember about that, because I really don't remember a single thing. If I can't even remember what I did last weekend, how am I supposed to remember my first grade? So, and I never revisited ballet, like, ever again until I was, like, maybe high school, and then more into focusing it in, you know, my 19, at 19, and then now. More than ever right now, to be honest with you. And I know a lot of dancers are actually, like, between the ages of 18 to 22, actually, they are looking for careers, or some dancers even get started earlier on in life, that they go to a boarding school, or they go to just any school in the world that welcomes dance into their schedule, but also balancing, like, the usual, like, math, science, history, all that stuff. And I did do that a little bit in community college, just a little bit, but it wasn't as heavily focused, if that makes sense. So my training officially began in my community college years. And I didn't really, I don't really consider that training, essentially, because I found out in community college that I wasn't going to do that anymore as my job. I entered it wanting to do that, and I came out of it like, no, I don't think this is for me. I don't think so, but I do love it more than anything in the world. But yeah, I fell in love with it originally. I fell in love with dance, like, I re-fell in love with it, if that makes sense, because I did ballet in first grade, never revisited it again. And then I did dance in high school as an elective, because I had to. Like, the first year, I had to do it as an elective in order to graduate. It was, like, one elective. Like, pick from the electives in the list and do those and call it a day, right? And I was super obsessed, my early fangirl days, if you will, which I already have an episode on. You can go listen to that. Confessions of a Retired Fangirl, that was me. Hi, how are you? But I was, yeah, I was definitely a freshman in high school, so I was definitely like 14 15, yeah, 14 for sure. But I chose the elective because I don't remember what the other ones were, but I was super obsessed with my fangirl obsession, the Iconic Boys from America's Best Dance Crew. And they are essentially the backbone and inspiration of why I decided to do dance this long in my life. And shout out to them. I know they're not listening whatsoever, but I have to give them all the credit for that. They were about my age, and some of them in the dance crew were a lot younger than me. And they were a hip-hop dance crew, I believe. But I know that they didn't do, like, ballet or contemporary. Some of them did. Some of the members did. But they never took it to that extent. Or that extent. Wow. Not extents. But I loved them as a fangirl, but also the art form behind it. And for being that young on a huge competitive, like, show, like a reality show essentially, but the final product was winning the championship, and I don't remember the final prize. I hadn't heard of Iconic Boys after I heard them in 2015, 2014, when they were actually in America's Best Dance Crew, April of 2011. So I was a little late to the game on finding them, but regardless, I found them. I don't remember how, but I did, and I think it was just basically YouTube surfing. YouTube surfing, and I ended up, you know, when you're on YouTube for so many hours, you just end up finding the randomest things. Not just weird things, just random things that don't correlate with your feed. Like, you can be watching an interview with your favorite celebrity and all of a sudden you're on a TV show that you've never heard of. It's just crazy how that works. But I found them and I was obsessed, and I was like telling my sister, my mom about them. Like, I remember I was living in Florida at that time, and I think it was the last year I was living there, so I just had moved back to LA, back home, and I carried on the love for it. And LA is definitely a much bigger dance world than, especially in Florida, especially, like, I think the closest you would find is like Miami, truly, or like Tampa, but that's reaching. Or Orlando. I feel like Orlando is a big one too, because Orlando has Disney World. Dancers are needed for Disney World, kind of a direct link, but who am I to say, you know? But essentially my training is at the moment improv, ballet, contemporary. I did modern and whatever else I learned in high school, because I did dance for 3 years out of the 4 years I was there, and I stopped. And then also, I don't really exactly remember what genres my teacher was showing us, but it was definitely a mix of ballet, contemporary, and modern, a mix of those three, and a mix of like actually building muscle strength and muscle, like understanding your body, if that makes sense. I did aerial. For those that don't know, aerial, it's like those when you go to like a circus, or if you go to EDC, for those that are ravers, and you see people hanging on ropes and essentially silks, or they're, you know, doing tricks on a hoop or a rope even. There's so many different kinds of aerial. And when I say I did aerial, I mean I climbed the rope maybe halfway and I got scared. I want to do aerial though, for sure. I want to get back into that. The core strength that it needs. Ooh, girl. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful art form and a beautiful form of dance. I love it for the sake of watching it. And also, I want to go back into doing it because I didn't really fully commit to it at the time. But regardless, I had no upper body strength. And to be honest with you guys, I still don't. So, yeah. But I was introduced to that quite young. I'm very grateful for that experience. I'm very grateful to at least know the dance world, because I'm not gonna lie to you guys, dance is a very important aspect of life. Whether you agree with me or not, whether you completely don't know anything about dance, it's something I want to welcome anyone that doesn't know about it. Like, and I hate when people are like, oh, I'm not good though, it's embarrassing. I'm like, really? Like, that's how you're gonna go into it? Girl, you can join any class for fun. Make sure it's a beginner class, obviously, and go at it. You know, you don't have to be like a fucking like master, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be like competition level. And competition dance is a whole other story, you guys. Woo. I don't know too much about competition dance. I just know from what I've seen that there are solos and that's really competitive, hence competitive dance. And it's scary to me. Ever since I found out about competitive dance, I was very scared of it. And to this day, I still kind of am, because those little kids are fucking talented and it's intimidating. Not in a bad way. It's like, oh shit, like she knows what she's doing and I'm impressed, you know? Like, more respect on that, on the dancers there than, you know. Honestly, I lost my train of thought. But for those that are still here and don't believe dance is a sport, I don't even know how you made it this far, but I'm gonna actually explain to you why it is. So, I watched this video a little while ago of this one dancer, or she's a ballerina essentially, and her name is Teresa, or how, Teresa, or something like that. But I'm gonna call her Teresa Farrell. And she's originally from New York. I like totally went down the rabbit hole with her because I saw the video once a while ago, and the video on YouTube, I'm gonna link it below in my description, so you guys, if you want to check it out, on her ballet story, what she does in a day as a ballerina. Essentially, the video is of what she does in a day as a ballerina, but also counting her calories, because there's a lot of misconception about how ballerinas don't eat, or a lot of eating disorders and stuff like that. I don't know too much about that, and I won't speak any further on it, but that's what I've heard, like the misconceptions of it, and some may be real, of course, and some may not. And essentially her video and her day in the life, and her counting calories was just showing and demonstrating that she was in full control of her calorie intake, her food intake, her workout regime, and everything else in between. So Teresa Farrell, she was, I recently found out just today when I was rewatching the video of this day in the life of the ballerina of Miss Girl, that she used to be a dancer, a ballerina at American Contemporary Ballet, American Contemporary Ballet in downtown Los Angeles. And I actually briefly have heard of them, but I was kind of like, oh, I remember that they exist. One of those situations. But essentially, I found her Instagram, like, present day. She used to be a co-founder of American Contemporary Ballet, something like that. And now she's not. I think she's fully focused on having her kid. She just had one. I'm literally just learning so much on Instagram, you guys. But nonetheless, doesn't change the fact that she's an incredible dancer and an incredible ballerina with legs for days, yo. But yeah, like I said, the video is essentially a day in her life where she walks through her morning, her midday, her nighttime, her days off, you know. But for those that don't know about anything about dance, especially working at a company, so if you audition for a company, if they hire you, you get paid, but you dance quite literally every single day. And your work, essentially, quote, work schedule would be when it's performance time and not performance time. So if you're just training in general, basically everything leads up to the performance aspect of it. And everything before that is you training and preparing your body for the performance part. Or at least I can tell from what I've seen. You can quote me on this. I'm pretty sure I'm not fully right. I'm kidding. But from what I have seen from, like, my friends that are part of companies or the teachers that taught me, they're part of companies. Essentially, all they do is dance every single day, like full days. And so for Miss Farrell, she was saying how, like I said, her hours vary depending on performances. And if where in the season the company is that she's with, or just in general, any company out there in the dance world. And if she's in a full season, or if it's time to get into performance shape, kind of that mentality. So in the video, she's stating, oh, I'm currently working on getting into my performance shape, preparing for my performance time. And I was like, okay, now I know. And she was stating how in the video, actually, this video was taking place in 2016, so a lot has changed, but she was saying how she was 115 and a half pounds, something like that. And then she said, like, I feel the best and a little lighter when I'm 114. So she was, like, almost there, and she was counting her calories to lose half a pound every week, or a half a pound every day, something like that. Along those lines, you can watch the video, honestly. But regardless, I was not shocked, of course, but for those that don't know anything about dance, especially ballet dancers in general, if you are a part of a ballet company or just a company in general, but she was stating how she and the hours that she puts in for work as a full ballerina, full time, nothing else, it varies between 6 to 11 hours in a day. And if you're a dancer, you obviously know it always goes over the set amount that your teacher says. And they say, oh yeah, like, we're gonna end at 12. It's gonna be 12:30, probably. My current contemporary teacher, her dance class always says 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. We always go into 12 p.m. I'm just gonna tell you that now. That's how dance is. And also for ballet dancers, when they say, oh, it's the last one, it's not. It's not. I'm not complaining though, I'm just, like, saying for reference. But yeah, it's full hours of 6 to 11 hours, depending on how committed you are, or, like, if you are at a company. It varies, for sure. It varies depending on the company, the dancer, etc. And in a way, I related to her in that sense, because all the entire video was her counting calories on her diet in order to give her best performance, right? And that's what we want. If you work out in any way, if you go to the gym, if you do bar, if you do Pilates, if you are into, you know, HIIT or something like that, you know, whatever the case may be, or just actual sports, you know that what your body needs and doesn't over time. I know a lot of PTs out there, they know. Of course they know. They're PTs. They would know what's best for the body that you want to have, or you describe to them that you want. And PTs themselves keep themselves in shape because they do study, they research, and they actually have to get certified for that. So, and do a lot of hours. So for me, I related to her in a lot of ways because when I was essentially, quote, training at my community college before the pandemic hit, I really didn't watch what I ate, like, at all. And also, hence, that I was working out so much. And if you want to quote me on this, that's fine. But I really didn't have long days. It felt very long because I'd be up very early in the morning to go sit in traffic, which is a lot of work mentally, to be honest with you, and then actually dancing. And I didn't really stretch before I left my house. I do that now. I'm going to be doing that tomorrow morning because I have dance tomorrow morning. But I would stretch when I would get there and stuff like that. And sometimes I'd like to arrive an hour to 30 minutes before my classes. And on Fridays, I did have one class that was at 11, like around 11:30-ish. And I would leave my house earlier and I would get there an hour before so I can stretch, I can mentally prepare for my class, mentally prepare for the day. And it really consumed me in a lot of ways. It consumed me a lot. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It just varies by person. You know, there are dancers that love every single minute of it. And there are moments where it's exhausting, it's annoying, it's like a little bit burdensome. But then I realized, like, as the pandemic was almost arriving, I took one choreography class because I love choreography and I love choreographing for myself. I feel like I definitely need to work on choreographing with other dancer bodies because not every body is the same. Quite literally, every body is not the same. And everyone has a different approach on healing their body and making sure that they don't hurt themselves. Everyone has a different approach, even if you practice the same genre of dance, just the way it is. And I can honestly say that I had to work with two other lovely, lovely dancers. And I'm super happy that I worked with them because they were really talented and they knew what the fuck was up. But I knew working and, you know, doing one choreography class, yo, just one, like straight up just one. I knew I didn't want to do it like professionally ever again. That was the moment where I realized I was like, I don't like this. But I'll get into that in a little bit. But dance is heavy work and a lot of dedication. Present day, like I mentioned, I dance every time I can, whenever I feel like my body is ready and capable of dancing. On Saturday mornings, which is even better because it's like, ooh, beautiful time to dance. It's like, all right, Saturday, let's bring it. I can start the day strong. I can stretch before I leave for class and I can stretch when I get there. And then I'm just ready to give it my full. And I wish I could explain what contemporary and modern dance is. But basically, modern is more like ballet kind of based, but it's more fluidity and freedom and compared to ballet, because ballet is very strict in rules and how you have to look, how you have to stand, how you have to sit in one position, how your body has to look in a certain position, and so on and so forth. You may think it's all fun and beautiful, because like every time I see some ballet performers, it's art. It's like, I know it takes a lot of fucking focus to do that. And as someone that's been in ballet before and still does it to this day, like I do this at home, like I do ballet at home, and I've gotten a lot better since I've done it, and I do notice a difference in my body. But it is incredibly difficult to maintain a straight face or even just fully smiling when your legs are literally about to fall off. But then again, that's what training is for, obviously. And training the day of, the day before, and all the days up to leading up to the performances. If you've never seen Nutcracker, I have never seen like a professional like ballet. I've seen Phantom of the Opera in New York on Broadway, and they did have some beautiful dancers, I remember. But I've never like sat down to see a ballet company's Nutcracker, Swan Lake. But I know that there's a lot of dedication into it. It's beautiful. Like, woo! Y'all don't even know. But like I said, present day, I have dance tomorrow in the morning. Oh my God. Sorry, you guys. The electricity went out earlier today. Wow. Hello, friends. Hello, my fellow aliens. I was rudely interrupted. So just to give a little mini preface and kind of backstory, it is really hot today in Los Angeles. It's really, really hot. It's like 91 outside. And a lot of people using their AC, their fans, and all that stuff. And the electricity went out earlier today where I'm at, where I live. For like a brief second, and I was in the shower. I was like, oh, I'm gonna die. But apparently it went out and I didn't notice when I was recording, and then all the energy came back at once for a second. I don't know. But anyways, let's shift our focus. Wow, I hate when shit gets interrupted. It bothers me because I had to do a little preface and all that. But anyways, so back to today's episode. So we left off on talking about my morning dance routine on Saturdays. Yes, let's get back into that. Let's jump back in. Let's remember it. So I have dance tomorrow on Saturday. It is Friday, April 8th. I have dance tomorrow, April 9th, you know, just girly tings at 10:30 in the morning until basically 12 p.m. And, oh, I just realized I did not split my screen. Whoopsies. I did not come prepared second time around. Classic me. Wait, where are my notes? Okay, we're good. Sorry, guys. I'm a little, you know, dissociated right now. So right now, primarily, I'm doing contemporary dance and I do ballet at home. And I did want to shift into going back into ballet at a studio after I haven't been in, like, since the pandemic started. So it's just like I miss it. And anyone that maybe has done ballet and they were like, this shit fucking sucks. We're very different. I love ballet. I know a lot of dancers are like, ballet sucks. I'm like, I know, I agree, because it's just too many rules. Like, you don't have any like freedom and any flow. And I feel like any choreographed like ballet sequence is just very, not repetitive, but no, repetitive. In different ways, though. I feel like it just depends on the dancer and the choreographer, how they decide to have that sequence performed and who performs it exactly and what type of dancer and what level they're at, for sure. But it's a lot of dedication and mental, you know, occupancy. It's like it does consume you when you do it for a while, and let alone do it professionally. And this has led me to why I didn't decide to do it as a career when I really, really wanted to. Since I was like 14 or 15, I wanted to do it for the rest of my life. Like, that was my calling. But I always suppressed it, and I always like told myself that's not a reliable career. Like, especially if you do ballet, like most of the time they retire like maybe within like 5 to 10 years of their career. Maybe if you're lucky, a lot longer, like 15. And there are some that still dance, you know. But the normal age of retirement, similar to like athletes in like football or stuff like that, that they're like 35-ish. Same with ballet. And it sucks when you think about it, you know? Like, if you were to do that the whole rest of your life and you retire at that age, most people now, they're more interested in like retiring earlier to enjoy the life and enjoy retirement. But and a little like very recently, that's a new thought process that people are like, oh, I don't want to be old to enjoy my like retirement. I'm like, that's fair, you know, your body is not the same as it once was, you know. And I get that wanting to retire in your mid early 30s or even late 30s or even early 40s is like kind of the new vibe for retiring. And I know a lot of people now, present day, if they retire at 35 is a little more acceptable, but back then it's like, oh no, you gotta retire at like 55 or something like that. But I will say I did not choose to do it as a career for so many reasons. And I told myself very recently that I want to have a job or a career, not job, multiple careers that, one, make me a shitload of money in a continuous flow. But also, I know that sounds very shallow, but I promise you it's not. And number two, I have three requirements for this. So the second one is it has to fulfill me and make me happy. And I have to enjoy every second of it, even the ups, the downs, the negatives, the positives, like the pros and the cons of every career, because every career has its ups and downs, right? And then the last thing is it has to inspire at least one person or multiple. It has to at least inspire someone to follow whatever dream there is. And for me, dance did not meet requirement number two. And it's just sad because it's like, I love it in all its forms. I love dance more than I can say I love anything else. Dance is primarily the thing that I would die for, really. Like, I'm not saying that to be dramatic. I'm not saying that to be, like, jokingly. Like, it's really something that I would lay my life down for, truly. Like, if my last moments were on a stage, yo, that's how I would want to go out. For real. I don't want to die of, like, you know, pain or anything like that. I want to die doing hours before something I loved, or I was in a happy place prior to my death, or if I die of old age in bed, like, that's, like, I feel like even that's a little scary, because, like, what happens if you went to sleep the night before and then someone comes to wake you up in the morning and you're gone? You know, it's like, that's even a scarier realization. I feel like waking up and dealing with death right then and there is, like, really crazy to me. I just know I want to go out in this life doing something I loved prior, a couple hours before, maybe a couple minutes before, or doing something I love, and then boom, an hour later, you know. That's just how life is. It just catches you by surprise. Knock on wood, obviously. But I also realize a big reason I did not want to do this as a full-time career was I don't like working with other people. I really don't. And I know that it's inevitable as you get older and you work with other people in your careers and in the job you might have. You know, I feel like maybe anyone listening to this, if you have a job right now and you had to work with people you may not really like, or you kind of just put up with for the sake of the job aspect, or maybe you have coworkers that you really love and care about, who knows? But for me, I don't like working with other people. I feel like I can handle myself and carry my own weight and do what I have to do on my own, because I'd rather do it on my own, because I know somebody else could either fuck it up for me or do better than me or anything else in between. And I don't really like that. I don't really like not having control of, or having only limited control, if that makes sense. Especially when you're working in dance, it's like, you have to work with other dancers, man. You have to work with their types of training, even if they're better or quote better, or, you know, a little bit below you and stuff like that. I don't really like to rank experience, but a lot of companies do that for sure. Like, a lot of them do, unfortunately. But also it just kind of comes down to like what you show on that stage or when you show in that audition, you know. And I'm not gonna lie, even auditions are not that great, let's be honest. Unless you got like invited to audition and it's just you and a couple of other people, then great. But most auditions are multiple people in one room and you only got like 30 seconds to sell yourself, which is honestly kind of unreasonable, and let alone unrealistic in any way. Truly, I don't know how people do it. I don't know how full-time dancers do that, and they do it continuously. They keep going to auditions and they know what to expect and they know what to do in the span of like 30 seconds or a little bit more. That's it. Maybe tops a minute. Tops. Or if it's a group audition and it is for dance, then you are going to be there a lot longer. But it's a group of people. it's hard to keep track of every single person. I went to a dance audition for one of my, actually no, two. Oh, I know, no, three. And I'm thinking of two of them right now. So one out of the two that I'm thinking of right now, it was only for the college students at that dance campus and that department. So they came from, I think, another school in New York, and they were inviting people to audition. One, you would get extra credit for the class if you did it, and two, great, you know, learning experience. And that shit's hard. And another one I did was even bigger. I'm talking like had to like put away the border of the two rooms that connected to one another, because in general, my studio, beautiful, by the way, there are beautiful studios out there in the dance world, but the dance studio I was at was beautiful, and there was like a giant curtain, but it wasn't a curtain, it was like more of like a plate curtain where it was like flat, and it was like it came down from the ceiling towards the floor, but it also had like a contraption on the side where they would move the plate curtain to the like left side of the room, and then it would open like a shade essentially, and then it would be the full room, and it was gorgeous. And we had to do that for one audition. It was every single dancer in the department at that audition, literally, which is more than 200 dancers in one room. How are you gonna pick a dancer to be part of what you're looking for out of 200 or more in one room? Even if you break it into like tiny groups, if you break it into like maybe 20 in one perform, like one audition, and they go in groups, it's not that accurate. I hate to say it, I really do. I'm sorry. It just isn't realistic, which I don't really like about the audition aspect of dance. It's like, if you have this many applicants and this many people interested in the audition, bro, just break it up in 3 days. Register for one day, and you can actually hyper-focus on more time than just 1 minute, you know? Is that easy to do? Of course not. I'm not an organizer, as you can obviously tell. But just a thought, man. Just a thought. If you know a lot of people are going to show up, have a better organization level. If you're also a bigger, like, company, or if you are a more famous call, like casting call company or whatever it is, you obviously have the funds to make that happen. So I'm just saying, it's just solo digo nomás, like I'm just saying. But also, I needed to, another reason why I don't want to do career wise at least not yet, or maybe at all, not gonna lie to you, probably not at all, but I'm still open to, like, I would still welcome a full opportunity, I'm not gonna lie. But I needed to better myself, and I still do. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm the greatest fucking dancer in the world, obviously. Absolutely not. Even my own friends that are dancers are better than me. I will be honest with you. However, though, can I still touch my toes? Yes. I know some of you can't. Just saying. Just flexing. That's all. A subtle flex, if you will. But I needed to better myself and build more of like a steady regime and a steady routine for myself. And I'm actually in the process of considering doing weight training anyways, so I have to like kind of incorporate my dance workout and health and well-being, because I don't just dance for the health and well-being of it. Obviously, I dance because I love it, and it's another form of exercise, and it's another form that you can't be doing, like, you know, jumps and pliés at the fucking weight room, you know? That's like not where it's at. That's not where, that they don't correlate with one another at all. However, they both benefit in the exercise aspect. I can tell you this now with certainty. I was in the gym since I was 14 years old, killing myself, cardio every day, stretching. Not once did that give me abs, yo. And of course, diet has to play. But I was murdering myself. I would be 2 fucking hours in that gym doing work, like cardio, abs, butt, glutes, and I would be dripping in sweat, yo, for real. But I did not get any results out of that, except maybe losing weight, just stomach fat and all that stuff, which is great, and I'm grateful for that, but I still had that tummy a little bit, Not saying that's bad, of course, obviously. Not saying that's bad, but it's a personal preference. Like, I don't want to, not against it, of course, but just not my kind of thing. But if you want to do that, go off. Not my business, not my place to judge you whatsoever, let alone criticize you. That's not my place. But I would not get any results, really. Not, like, life-changing results from that. And then your girl started dancing again. And what happened? Right before the pandemic. I'm talking like. Huh. I'm trying to think. I think it was June 2020. That's when I finished my community college. And I had a 4-pack. Yo. I'm so serious. I have posted it on social media, if you follow me on there, a million times. And I will continue to do so, because I had a fucking 4-pack for the summer. Bitch, I have never been more summer ready in my entire life. Do I have that now? Kind of. Not really. I still do jiggle a little bit. I have that, like, skinny fat look, if that makes sense. But I think it's because I've been eating really bad, because I got my period and shit. So I'm kind of off my game. And my body is kind of off its game right now, because I actually didn't go to dance Saturdays for 2 weeks straight. I missed last class last week, and I missed the class before last week. So I'm kind of out of shape right now. But it's a lot. And that's also something to take into account. Like, if I miss one class, it's like, oh, it's over. It's over, you know, when it's not, but it feels like it is, especially if you do it all the time, if you incorporate it in daily life. I work out every single day except Sundays, and Saturdays are more my intense days, and I usually spend the whole week preparing and doing the workouts that I do to prepare for that. And I do ballet throughout the week on purpose, so I can just keep that flexibility going. And stretching as much as I can, even though I suck at stretching. I never stretch before my workouts. I know all the PTs of the world are cringing and so upset with me. But, yeah. And also, I would like to say that I don't really want to take it as a career anymore, because I am on the IUD right now as a form of birth control. And I'm going to get into this a whole other topic. I do plan to do a full video on my IUD journey and that is an aspect of it, like working out with the IUD and having your cycle change that much. Just briefly, it has put me in more fatigue. I do feel very tired, and I do feel very in pain, worse than I've ever been before. Like, pre-IUD, I could work out and go to dance in the most intense ways, and I did do that. But I was more emotional, and every time I failed in one aspect, like before the pandemic, before I got an IUD, because I got my IUD during the pandemic, as you can probably tell, but I would be fine, like, body-wise. I would just take maybe, like, over-the-counter, and it would subside in, like, an hour, and I'd be ready to go for dance. Like, it wouldn't be a big deal. And it'd be only for 4 days, yo. It'd be only for 4 days. I was very lucky. Oh, how I miss those days. But, even like the week leading up to my period, pre-IUD and during my dance life, it wasn't anything crazy. I would just be more irritable, like as expected, but it wasn't anything drastic. It wasn't anything that like kept me from doing my daily activities. And when I got on the IUD, to this day, like the week before, it's like hell. And I feel like every woman that has a period understands that, but in general, you know, it is absolute hell, and I feel heavier, and that's like really hard when you're dancing, because if you have to move from one position to another in like half a second, you have that extra weight on you, and it's hard to like lift yourself up and use your own body weight to successfully perform said movement. It's really hard, yo. It's something that it made me really sad to realize. I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't work out during my period. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, do that. But it sucks. It really sucks. And I do plan to keep it. Obviously, I do plan to keep the IUD because I want to be safe and I want to take the proper precautions. And if you can hear my stomach rumbling, I'm sorry. But it did slow me down, unfortunately. And that's just something I have to live with. That's something that I am going to have to deal with. And if I was doing this professionally, I can't say no. If I was doing this professionally and got my IUD inserted and everything, I couldn't tell my company, like, hey, I can't dance today. And if it's a performance day, it's even worse. I have to. And my teacher present day, and also my teacher from community college, she was like, I know it's hard. I know your period's hard, bro. We all experience. And she's a woman, obviously, so she knows. She's like, I know, but suck it up. I was like, you're so right. I'm so sorry. Like, it was like one of those moments. Cause like for dancers, it's like hard to take a break, for real. Like, you don't take a break. It's very rare when you do and you let your body rest. And now I feel like people should prioritize resting their bodies. And we all never listen to that. And then you actually experience an injury or some soreness and you're like, okay, shit, I really should. But I would never give myself that during dance prior to the pandemic and prior to deciding I didn't want to take it seriously anymore, because dance is go, 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 yo. Dance is something that I love and I wish I could take it as a career, but it's just so much mental effort, so much physical effort, and committing to both of them at once is a lot. It's a blessing though, but it's a lot. I've been there, I've done it, and now that the pandemic hit and I was a little more lenient, I could relax more and take more time to rest my body when needed. I learned that even more so. I was like, this is something I want to do the rest of my life, and I will always make time for it, but not as my career, not as a full-time career. It's just the way it is, and I'm not upset about it. I would never be upset about that kind of thing. I'm very grateful to know what dance is and to experience it, and to experience it tomorrow. You know, I'm glad to have the body that allows me to do that. And I love the aspect of dance in the sense that it's a storytelling event. It's something that when you perform on a stage, yo, it's like, it's yours. Like, it's a moment for you. And if you're dancing with other people, it's a moment for all of you together after rehearsing for who knows how long, and finally coming together to show the world what you are going to say, what you have to say, what your message is going to say. And when I was dancing, I think two classes or three classes ago for my Saturday class, my teacher, she was showing us her own work, obviously. Every time, dance essentially is you do some technique and stretching and warming up, and then the last few minutes of class you learn the choreo. At least that's how contemporary is. I don't know for any other dancers how that is, but mainly that's primarily how it is. Like for ballet, you do bar and then you do center, kind of that way. And she was showing us her choreo, and it was beautiful. It was like how I felt. Like, I was like, I loved it, and it was like beautiful in my body. I could feel like my body feeling different, but also like very proud of how I felt in my body. And I felt like I was getting everything right for once. I was getting everything done properly. I was actually fully in the zone and committed to it. And then I asked her about it, and she was like, oh no, it's my choreo. I'm doing it because it's involving COVID and like the distance it has made between all of us. And I was like, that's the shit I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That is what dance is about. Using your experiences, using your life, using the world around you, using just anything that inspires you or impacts you in a positive or negative way, or just daily life, you going on a hike even, is worthy of telling a story. It is. And with everything more than ever, dance is a great outlet, especially during such hard times like these, especially more than ever. And I knew, I was like, dance begins to lose its meaning and its purpose when people and other dancers see it as just business. And look, I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't make it a business. You should get fucking paid for the work you do as a dancer, let alone as a choreographer, or even both. That's a double threat right there. But it's ugly when it turns into just fully the business side. And then you lose the love and creativeness to it. Because it is hard to balance both, to balance the actual business side of it and also the love for it. But I'm not going to sit here and judge, because I know that dance is about getting yourself out there, and dance basically now is all about Instagram. So if your Instagram's popping and your entire feed is just you performing at Millennium Dance Complex in North Hollywood, you're pretty much set to go. I'm just saying. That's just the way it is. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Or Playground LA. Or just any major dance studio that's well known, because I've danced at Millennium. Millennium is a beautiful place. I love Millennium. The energy in there is phenomenal, and it's crazy packed, like quite literally every day, every night, every day, it's always packed. And all the talking about filming and stuff like that, and I'm like, I'm not against it, yo. I'm not. I want people to get themselves out there. But if you're only going to go to dance just to get recorded and that's about it, I don't know. For me, that's not what it's about. But who am I to judge? You know, if you want to get that bag, hey, I'm not going to judge you for that. Nah, that's not my place either. But it also brings me back to like talking about the industry with like Todrick Hall. If you guys don't know who Todrick Hall is, just a mini bio. He was a YouTuber and then he turned into a pop sensation, all that. So essentially, according to Wikipedia, Todrick Hall is an American singer, songwriter, choreographer, and YouTuber. He gained national attention on the 9th season of the televised singing competition American Idol. Following this, he amassed a huge following on YouTube with viral videos including original songs, parodies, and skits. Now, I also read that he also choreographed on RuPaul's Drag Race. Legendary. If you don't know RuPaul's Drag Race, where have you been, you know? But Todrick Hall, long story short, back in 2019, he had some allegations against him that he wasn't paying his dancers and sexual misconduct and stuff like that. That's when dance becomes not also scary, but also like, what is it really about, you know? If these people in such high power, such as Todrick Hall, have the ability to do all this, not pay you, sexual misconduct, etc., then, or sexual harassment even, then what is the purpose of it, you know? So, according to The Insider, Todrick Hall's former assistant, Tommy McKissock, has made some allegations against him. So, McKissock is distributing a copy of a 2018 legal complaint alleging sexual harassment, retaliation, wrongful termination, failure to pay overtime, failure to pay minimum wage, and breach of contract against Hall. Whoo, yo. Just take a minute to sink that in. So, and Tommy McKissock is Todrick Hall's former assistant, and then he came forward with everything that was revealed, as I just said. And then Todrick Hall's former assistant says Hall settled earlier this year with the plaintiff, who had been the manager of Hall's world tour of his album Straight Outta Oz. Before McKissock began posting about the accusations against Hall, Tom White, a dancer and choreographer who worked with Hall on multiple projects, also accused him of non-payment and of making anti-Black comments. Hall tweeted that White hasn't been paid yet, but will be. Even more artists who had worked with Hall began accusing him of non-payment and raising other qualms, including the well-known drag queen Manila Luzon, who says Hall never paid for her to host his Halloween party in 2018. A DJ at the party and another drag performer told Insider they were never paid either. So this is all according to Insider, and this is just a reference, roughly 2018-2019 time frame. And this is the allegations against Todrick Hall. And that's also a moment where dance really becomes scary, really becomes a serious thing to look into, especially if you're very famous in the public eye as a dancer and choreographer and so on and so forth. It's something that needs to be noted, something that needs to be spoken about, and people finally came forward. They were like, this shit's fucking stupid, like, pay me. And as you should. Like, imagine doing all that work, exhausting yourself in rehearsal, exhausting yourself and exhausting your body overtime, and not getting paid for that. That's quite literally illegal. So, and also, as I was researching more about Todrick Hall, he's being sued, allegedly, for not paying, for $60K in rent this year, like, recent. I just saw in the article. So, according to one magazine, I believe, or, no, JK, The Advocate magazine. The Advocate magazine. So, according to The Advocate magazine, so, our singer and Celebrity Big Brother alum, Todrick Hall, has been accused of failing to pay $60,000 in rent for February and March this year. The property owners are now suing for the cash. So there's that, you guys. There's that. And as I can conclude now, dance has given me and done so much for me. And I'm grateful for it, and I will never stop. But I will say it has given me the body I have now. It has given me healthy, active, and flexibility in my daily life. Not even just dance, just like all the workouts I do and the ability to be standing for long hours and be able to stretch during those and not lose that flexibility. And it's always thanking your body. My teacher always said, thank your body for today. Thank yourself for today. Because you showed up and your body did what it had to do. And you pushed it to its limit, or you pushed it as much as you wanted to and you had to. And boom, you know. And then it just teaches you life lessons about focus and discipline. And if you've never taken dance in your life, you don't have to be great at it. Just start a beginner class. Maybe once in your life, you just want to try it out. The amount of things you will learn in just one class, hopefully if your teacher is great, is unique and incredible and so worthwhile that you'll get a good workout in and a good sweat, but also you will learn discipline and patience and focus. Because I have danced with nothing on my mind but the movement, but how my body feels. Not so much now because I'm at home. It's a lot harder. There's a lot of things on my mind, especially with school and work and personal problems and careers. It's really hard. But prior to that, I was really great at it. All I could think about was the movement in that moment. Nothing else mattered. Just that. Just the movement, just my moment right now. So, that being said, I apologize for the mid-printing. Electricity was wild today. But I hope you guys enjoyed the episode if you did listen to it. I love you all, my fellow aliens. Please take care of yourselves. Get a workout in today or move your body somehow, whatever way you feel best. And I will see you guys next Sunday. Bye!